It's that time of the year where all the spirits come out to play, where terror grips the streets and your darkest fears come to life. Pull in close as we journey through the darkness into the realms of the Monster Cast.
And hello out there, everyone in podcast land, and welcome back to the Front Row Podcast, podcast people actually like movies, and another episode of Monster Cast here in October of 2020. The year's been horrific enough. Why not dive head deep into it here with us on the Front Row Network on NPR Illinois? I'm Jeremy Gechner, as always, the editor-in-chief, and here with me to break down yet another horror film mainstay is my wife, Sarah Baltusevich Gechner. Say hello, everyone out there.
Hello, everyone out there.
It's She never fails to say it exactly how I say it. This is our third Monster Cast for the month here, and I believe we're diving here into our franchise, which technically is only two movies this time.
Technically.
There's another one that we're not going to talk about because...
Because I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, because neither of us want to watch it.
I didn't want to watch these two.
Yeah, we didn't want to watch these two. But you know what? We do it for you guys. We do it for you, the fans. That's why we do this. But we are going to be diving here with our franchise into the I Know What You Did Last Summer film. So I Know What You Did Last Summer, and then I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Fantastic
longest
naming
titles?
There. They really might be. I mean, well, look. Okay, so...
There's like that weird one on Netflix. It's like, I'm the pretty thing that lives in the house. That's
yeah,
long,
that's pretty but... long. That's a pretty long one. And then, of course, you got like, you know, the Harley Quinn movie that has a pretty long title. But
yeah, that's a fucking horror movie.
Yeah, horror movies. Really might be. I Know What You Did Last Summer there. So this is interesting to me because I have distinct memories of growing up, like, you know, and this film being around, like, the periphery of my teenage years.
Oh, this was definitely a sleepover kind of movie rental.
Yeah, well, this was like, okay, so this is what, 97? 1997. So what, Scream is what, 95? 96?
Yeah, I know it was remember. On the heels.
Yeah, so, but I mean, like, this is, I don't know why, but for some reason, I like, yeah. I inextricably link these two films for some reason.
Well, I mean, they were like the early onset of like the new horror,
the new
genre.
Slasher horror genre.
Like, we had like, you know, the Friday the 13th and the
The
Nightmare
slashers
on Elm
of the
Street.
80s, yeah.
Okay, this is like the new horror genre, the groupings like Scream. Yeah. I Know What You Did Last Summer. They were the new horror franchises.
Yeah, and you're right, because it's interesting that, you know, like, look, I'm not going to in any way suggest that this movie is on the level of Scream in terms of its scope or its quality. But here's what I will say, though, is, like, I remember that this film was insanely successful at the box office. It was wildly popular. The first one, well, we're talking about here. The second one, not so much, but we'll get to that. But yeah, like, you know, like Scream, you're right, like really kind of revitalized horror as like something cool.
I'm pretty sure I read that like after the success of Scream that this had been a script that had been hanging around for a while. And after the success of Scream, they like recast it with like young hot people and made it because it's like,
wait,
oh.
Was there a version where there weren't young hot people?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, they had a script and they probably had people cast in it like years previous who are now older. So now they're like, revamp, recast.
Sure, sure, sure.
Let's make some money off of it.
Yeah, this was like definitely a Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman early vehicle.
No,
like that.
Not that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
because it says Kevin Williamson wrote the script before Scream, but wasn't able to sell it. Following the success of Scream, Columbia Pictures immediately bought it.
Yeah, so you're right. Like, Scream kind of like was the dinner bell, so to speak, of like, hey, everyone, horror is back.
So
it's
people
cool.
are buying back into this. So like, we need like young people that look like, people that look like they're young, 30s, 30 somethings playing teens.
Yes, exactly. Which is also a very big trope of this genre or this filmmaker, this era in horror filmmaking. But yes, like, and, you know, again, like, very successful, very, you're right, very sleepover centric. And, you know, I will say, like, as a slasher movie, this first one, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's tries to create its own lore. It tries to create its own, like, unique killer, like, look and everything like that, which we'll get into here. But
it's kind of like this Scream and, like, Urban Legend all tried to create this, like, hooded figure, yes, but it had to be different from the other one.
Well, Urban Legend is definitely the weakest of that.
It's like some fur coat.
It's like some fur hooded fur coat.
Well, I just watched Final
person.
Cut the other day. I'd never seen it. It's like a fencing mask.
Yeah, it's, yeah, don't, yeah. Avoid people. Ooh, buddy. Let's get, like, right into it here. So you're right. Like, this is directed by Jim Gillespie. You're right, written by Kevin Williamson, who I believe also was a co-writer on Scream. Uh-huh. So he had a good couple of years there at the box office.
Yeah, he was like, okay, here's what you do to make a hit horror movie in the 90s.
Hot kids, a little bit of self-awareness, and go. Yeah. So you're right, though. This movie has a who's who of young stars at the time. Jennifer Love Hewitt as Julie James. Sarah Michelle Gellar as Helen Shivers, which you always found to be such a fun name. Ryan Phillippe, a very young Ryan Phillippe, as Barry Cox. And probably most known, Mr. Freddie Prinze Jr. there as Ray, what's his last
Bronson.
Name? Bronson there.
Billy Blue.
Yeah, Billy Blue. We'll get into that. So this, you know, general strokes here is that these are four friends that are living in some kind of seaport town of, Maryland or something, I thought.
It's more...
Somewhere with crabs. Let's just put it that way. There's lots of crabs.
The Croaker Festival that they go to?
Yeah, something like that.
There's lots of fishing boats and...
Miss Baltimore crabs, let's call it that.
Really, though.
So,
and you got, like, the four tropes, you know, you got, like, the jock.
Oh, yes. Like, Barry's, like, this meathead jockish guy.
Helen's the beauty queen.
The beauty queen.
Julie's
the bookworm.
Shy, hot, yeah. But she's a bookworm. And then Ray's, like, comes from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah, but he's got a good heart. Yeah. So, you know, they
he's
all
a worker.
Like,
yeah, he doesn't have the money.
He works hard. He's got the work ethic. And Barry's, of course, the rich douchebag.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess, like, what is this? Like, some kind of summer festival? Like,
it's
or
Fourth
is it
July.
Like 4th of July? There you go. Yeah, that is kind of a big part of this, yeah. Isn't it? So one night on 4th of July, they're all doing, like, their partying thing.
Helen wins this pageant. She wins the Croaker pageant, and they're all drinking and celebrating.
Yeah, exactly.
They're getting ready to go to college. They just graduated, and they, like...
Ray's not going to college, though, because he can't afford it.
He works the boats. Works with his hands.
Yeah, which means he is...
Barry's going on a football scholarship, because Ryan Phillippe really looks like he plays
football.
Yeah,
he looks like a football player.
Helen's going to Hollywood to make it big in acting.
Of course, that happens to everyone.
And Julie's going to some prestigious fake school.
Yeah, so she could be, I don't know, a lawyer or some shit.
Yeah, so it's just this typical, like, four friends on the beach, like, you know, celebrating their, like, you know, towards the end of the summer together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the world
drinking.
Is in front of them.
Yeah.
Oysters and all, man. but, of course, as they are driving home, Ray is driving Barry's car because he is drunk off his ass.
Barry's
and while,
just drinking whiskey out of the bottle.
Yeah, straight up, which is what everybody always does. But as they're heading back, Ray accidentally hits something in the road. We don't really get a good look at it. But as they start investigating...
a human...
Well, I don't know, like, when they hit, if we actually know that it's a human, but... I mean, either way, they start looking around and they find this body on the side of the road. So obviously,
they find a boot.
Yeah, they find
I can't.
A scary
I know,
movie
I
this
can't.
Up. Where's the foot? So either way, they're all starting to really freak out about this. But long story short, they make the decision to get rid of this body instead of calling the authorities.
Because they know if they call the authorities, it'll be DUI and ruined lives.
Of course.
So they decide to just dump it off of a dock.
Yeah, and they get it down there. After some reluctance from Julie and a little bit from Ray. But I guess the big reveal here is that, like, you know, like, he kind of wakes up before they do this.
So it's like, so, I mean, I still have to go back to his, like, parody. So I was like, no, guys, I'm fine. Like,
you're right. Why,
I'm good.
Why are we just thinking of
because
the scary movie part of this way?
So funny because it's perfect.
Yeah, we got to dump the body. Unnecessary.
I'm not dead.
I'm good.
But yeah.
No, but he does wake up and stuff, and as they throw it in there, you know, like he accidentally grabs, or he grabs Helen's crown, Barry has to go in after it, and he sees the guy's eye open and such, but he doesn't come back up. So they're like, okay, this guy's dead. We make this
we
pact.
Take this
we
to the
take
grave.
This to our grave. He chokes the life out of Julie, Barry does, yeah, to make sure she says it. A little hostile there, bub. But so then a year later, a year has passed, and they've all kind of gone their separate ways.
But, yeah. But sorry, yeah, separate.
Secret ways as well, but, yes. Yeah.
So basically their lives don't turn out the way they planned because they have all this like weird guilt hanging over their heads. But sure. They all kind of come back to town like the following summer because...
For one reason or another. I mean, like, Julie's just kind of coming home to visit her parents, right, on break,
right.
On summer break.
Helen never actually
Barry,
left. I mean,
yeah,
she went
Barry,
for, like, a month.
Barry's back, presumably, from college.
On break.
On break.
Ray works
the boat, so he's never
left. But none of them kept
left.
In touch, so, like, the incident caused a rift.
Yes, exactly, but...
So they all broke up. They're, none of them are friends anymore, but when, basically when they get back, Julie gets a letter in the mail to her house, mm-hmm. And it's just... An envelope with nothing else, no stamp, nothing. It just says in very nice penmanship and Sharpie.
Yeah.
I know what you did last summer.
Very good penmanship. I gotta give the killer credit here. Yes, but, and this kind of starts off this whole cascade effect of like all of them start getting these notes and all of them start getting terrorized by something, some guy, some person in a giant,
slicker
coat,
with a hook.
And of course the hood is up. And so then it just becomes this race against the clock of trying to figure out
who
this
is.
Guy is while also trying to stay alive. And that's basically it. We'll get into the ending here in a second here, but like,
it's actually kind of complex, like who's who.
Yes.
Like it took me till like three watches to actually understand that who they killed and like, cause it is a little bit weird. Like it's not just like, the guy we hit, it's not what they think. Like, it's really weird. So
yeah, and I honestly, like, I don't know if even I'm remembering it correctly at the moment, but you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But so, you know, look, this is a standard slasher like this. So basically, you have to live and die by the kills and the way the creativity you get there. And like, there's some of these that work really well, I think. You know, poor Johnny Gasecki of The Big Bang Theory is in this. Galecki, sorry.
He plays this kid Max that's in like Likes Julie, but
he's also poor, so you know,
he's not hot, so you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Him.
So he's not as hot.
And he
so.
Actually happens upon them the night of the killing.
Yeah, but like
he
they
drives
just kind
up,
of...
but they tell him that like Barry's throwing up, and they basically get around.
Seems like
him.
Seems like they believe it, but like
so they basically most of the time think that it's him.
Yeah, because he's the only other one that was there that night.
Yeah.
But very early on, we get knowledge that it's not him because as he's working at one of these docks and such, Hookman puts a hook through his chin, so he's out.
Yeah.
And you know, like, and so like that's like a pretty good scare there because you know, like, I think the only other time you would have seen like a hook in like a movie like this is what, like Candyman or something like that, right? Like
Urban Legend.
Yeah, Urban Legend as well, a little
it is
bit.
An urban legend.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, like, but there's a, like, are there any other, like, you know, scares and like set sequences in this movie that
like
really kind of work for you?
I mean, if we're going to get into them, the best one's probably Barry's death.
Yeah, Barry's pretty good.
Well, because of the, it's just because it's the scene. You always remember the scene because like Helen's on stage and it's like the they're killing him and no one believes her.
Yeah, that is kind of frustrating, isn't it? Because so like as you know, they're doing this pageant that Helen won the last year.
She has to pass the torch on,
so she's like you know sitting there just like watching everything and from the stage. And Barry is up in the balcony by himself trying to keep watch over her because she's already been attacked once. Like the killer was like hiding in her room. When she went to sleep and cut off her hair in her sleep.
Mm.
And so, you know, he's up there. But yeah, as Helen, like, sees this hooked man, like, coming near Barry, like, you know, with his back to him, you know, you're right, trying to, like, yell out that there's some, like, he's up there, also, like, and she sees the guy, like, actually, you know, starting to kill Barry. And as she's trying to run up there and trying to get people's attention, they just keep, like, stopping her and, like, getting in her way.
They think
stuff
she's,
like
trying to interrupt the pageant and that she's, like, lost her shit. I mean, and then when they go up there to, like, investigate it, he's gone, of course. But it's like that's always.
But they
the
miss
one
like conspicuously the one bloody spot in the entire
like
balcony.
One drip,
the
yeah.
one dripping bloody spot.
It's always like the kill I remember the most. From
well,
it.
Yeah, because it's frustrating, right? You know, like it's right there in the middle of a crowded theater.
And then I mean, she gets it next. Her sister's.
See, that's the sequence I always remember.
Her sister's Mrs. Sampras.
Yes. Are they still married? I don't remember.
I don't know, but yes,
Bridget Wilson, the
she's like for some reason like always hostile to her sister.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of really weird animosity.
Her parents
here,
own Shivers drugstore.
Yes.
It's like a mini department store.
But you're right, like this is a really fun thing though, is like this whole sequence, which really starts when Helen is in the cop car, like trying
after
to
Barry gets
yeah,
killed,
after Barry
yeah.
gets killed, they're taking her back to the station because she's hysterical and she wants to make a report. The cop ends up getting killed, like, because the hook man like fakes this auto accident or something.
Car breakdown
and everything. And so she's like running away. She eventually gets to her store with her sister there. And
she like unlocks
there's like
the
this yeah, and there's this great sequence in the middle there where in like in the store where the killer's stalking her. She eventually gets out like by jumping from the second story.
Yeah, and then she limps like to the fest.
Yeah, and
she makes it like within a foot of the parade.
Yeah, and there's like she's all through these alleys
she's
and everything.
Made it.
And it's just like right there, and right as she's about to hit the street, she turns around and I'm like, don't do that. But
he
yeah,
kills Mrs. Sampras too.
Yeah, he kills Mrs. Sampras too. But
her
I always remember
Elsa.
That one.
I always like thought it was weird that her sister's name was Elsa.
Well, I mean.
No, but like even then, like Elsa?
Yeah, it is kind of German, isn't it?
Weird, but
but I mean, like, I always thought that that kill was pretty cool because, and again, because you're right, it's like the frustratingness is like, help is right
it's
there.
It's both of them. Both of their, because like, Barry is like, there's literally like 200 people in the room when he gets killed and nobody sees it. And Helen's like, she's a foot from help and she, you know.
She just can't get there.
But can't get there.
So those are frustrating.
That's the trope of the different kills throughout. And eventually, you know, Ray and Julie are the last two. And of course, Julie has to start to suspect Ray at one point.
But we should get into the crux of like the mystery side of this, because that's the other part of this movie that is very important. And I think it's kind of a little bit better than even the kills themselves, is like the idea of these of this mystery of who's doing this.
It actually, the movie actually starts with like a guy sitting on top of a cliff, mm-hmm. and he has like a weird like thing in his hand. It's like a spinner, or like he keeps it's like a coin connected to like a spinny thing, and he like keeps flicking it,
right?
And it like he's like drinking and he seems like depressed,
mm-hmm.
so like I don't, it's just like a random scene that you don't really get any
which you
later.
Really don't get a lot of context for until the very very end,
right? But they start, I don't exactly remember how like they start like figuring it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, she starts to do, like, a little
research.
Julie does a little bit of research about trying to find out who it was that they killed. And she actually,
yeah,
like,
right.
I think she even says, like, she looked it up.
His name was David Egan.
Yeah. Was who they ended up killing. You know, and I think she said she looked that up while she was, like, in college even. Like,
right,
she,
and they
she
say
knew
that,
about
like,
this.
She figures out that, like, he had a girlfriend named Susie because it was tattooed on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So they, like, go.
And he had a sister named
Missy. They go investigate, like, his house where he lived, and his sister lives there, and she's like played by Anne Heche in a really random
role,
and they like, you know, go and like pretend that their car like is stalled on the road so that they can question her.
Mm.
Poor, and Anne Heche's character is like really like just kind of pathetic, like lives by herself out in the boonies, like doesn't really have anyone. And
well, you got the sense that her brother was
like her
pretty
whole
much
life.
All she had.
Yeah,
you
so
know,
like she tells
parents.
Them that like, you know, her brother was in love with Susie, and that like the two of them were in a car accident like several years prior, and Susie was killed.
Mm-hmm, but Susie Willis there, so yeah.
So they just
name.
Assume that like, you know, David was out there on that road depressed, and that he was, you know, but Missy thinks that he killed himself,
right? Mm.
And she eventually reveals that she received a note saying, like, that it
She thought it was suicide because she found a note that David left.
Oh, right. She thought that David left it,
which said, I will never forget last summer.
Right. And she hid it so that the insurance adjusters wouldn't find out that it was
suicide. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, like, it was ruled, like, when they found David, you know, it was thought, like, oh, it's an accidental death of some kind. But she had some insurance, but she didn't show the insurance just because, you know, so they don't pay
suicide
out for suicides.
Won't pay off.
So, yeah, but, like, it says, you know, I will never forget last summer in the same handwriting that Julie and the rest of their notes are getting. But Julie, you know, tells her, you know, like, no, this isn't a suicide note. This is a warning or something, or a threat or something.
So,
like,
it basically,
that.
There's two other things that come out of her story is that they are trying to say, like, okay, maybe he had, like, a friend that, like, you know, they
was trying to, like, avenge him and stuff.
And she's like, you know, the only person that ever came to see me was this guy that said he was friends with him. His name was Billy Blue, and we were sweet on each other for a minute.
Right.
And it turns out, I don't remember how they figured out that it's
Yeah, I don't remember either, but
it's something
ends up
in
being,
the yearbook that Ray wrote, like, yeah, about, I don't remember exactly what it is.
Well, but it turns out that Billy Blue is Ray, and yeah, Ray was feeling guilty because
so
he also
was
found
investigating
out about this.
It too.
Yeah, so
but that
was
leads them to think that it's Ray. That's part of the reason they think
blah,
it's
blah,
Ray.
Blah, 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 blah,
but
blah,
the
blah,
other thing that comes out of their talks with Missy is that David did not have a tattoo that said Susie on his arm.
Right.
And they know for a fact that the person that they killed had a tattoo that had Susie on his arm. So right, it turns out that it was not David that they hit on the road.
Right. But David was, in fact, killed that night.
Yes. By the person they hit on the road, who turns out to be Susie's father,
Ben Willis,
who killed David in retaliation for his daughter's death.
And then was just happened to be out on the road, got hit by the friends, and somehow survived not only the car hit, but also the attempted drowning. So tough, tough hombre.
Yes.
But that's what you expect out of your slasher killers, I guess. So, they have to be indestructible. But this all culminates in, you're right, Julie not trusting Ray and running from him while on the docks, and she ends up taking refuge on this guy's boat. Mm. You know, they end up going out to sea, and
she gets a little spooked, and she kind of hides in, like, a cooler where she sees all her friends' bodies, and it's like, oh, shit, I just inadvertently put myself in easy
right
prey
and
mode.
This is where she finds out, you know, this is Ben Willis, this is who he hit, and, you know, he's kind of pissed.
Should have made sure I was dead.
Right. And so a big chase sequence there. Ray eventually gets another boat and, you know, gets out there and gets on the boat. There's a standard horror film teens versus
guy
bad
gets his
guy
hand
fight.
Chopped off with hook in hand, gets stuck in net, knocked overboard. Cops don't find anything.
Ooh. And so, of course, we have to get our shocker finish as well. Where
Julie goes back to college and she's, like, in the locker room and she's, like, showering and shit.
Oh, yeah, because there's mist on the shower. There's fog on the shower.
And then it says,
and stuff.
I know what you did last summer.
Ah!
And he jumps through the mirror. And
yeah, because that's what happens. You know, the more I remember it, the more I look at it, it's still a pretty effective slasher movie. It's fine. It hasn't really, like, gotten worse with age or anything like that. You know, like, you would think that a movie made, God, almost what, like, 30 years ago now, almost?
97? No. 23
years ago? Never mind. But made, like, 23 years ago, you would figure that there'd be some datedness to it, but there really kind of isn't. I mean, like, you know, it's still a pretty good story there.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
very basic. And you're right, like, the scares are still pretty good. The kills are still gruesome,
like,
in just enough
like
the right way.
If Scream had not happened, it would be, like, way better. But it just
perhaps
comes on the heels of a better movie.
Yeah, that's right. And again, that's how it's, like, so inextricably.
But it's fine.
Like,
yeah. I mean, it's got, you know, a decent cast. It's got some decent kills. It has, I still feel that, like, the killer explanation is too complex.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right, because it's really a mystery inside a slasher film, which
like
is kind of weird, but
it's like a car accident with a girlfriend, and then dad killed the boyfriend a year later, and then the boyfriend's dad got, it's too many things.
You get one thing film.
It's too many things.
But that's the first
one. And then they just make it too many more things.
Yeah, oh my God. Well, that's the segue we need, I guess. Let's get into I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, which, did that come out the next year?
No, I want to say
or
it's
was
like
it 99?
2 or 3 years later.
I can't remember exactly what year.
98, yeah.
98,
right.
So the
Jesus.
Very next summer. So literally.
Well, it really was the next summer.
yeah, right? Mm-hmm. They still do know. So, and if I remember right, it was like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, like, made a lot of money and everything, and they just jumped on it, like, right away. And by the way, it shows how quick, like, they made this movie, because there's not a lot to do with I mean, okay, well, let's just get into it here. So it's been a year since the events.
So it's been 2 years since the actual killing now, a year since the last time, the year since the previous movie's events.
Right, and Julie is still in college.
They explain Julie not being killed in the shower scene by saying it was one of her night terrors.
Yeah, they explain that away very quickly, don't they? You have another one of your night terrors.
Again, even after all the events of the last film, Julie and Ray are still not together. They're still
right
on the outs.
Yes.
It's like
this will they won't they thing. Like, they're together, but, like, Ray wants her to come back home, but she just can't come back home because, well, you know, a lot of bad crap happened.
Yeah, I don't
there.
Really know why he wants to live. I don't really know.
I don't
but
know.
Anyways, yeah, so she's in college. She's, you know, she's not doing too good. She's having a falling asleep in class, having night terrors. And
yeah, blah, blah,
she's
blah.
She's just kind of effed up. And
she has a roommate played by pop singer turned actress Brandy, who is not good. She plays Carla in this. She has a boyfriend, Ty, played by Mekhi Phifer.
Whose literal goal of the entire film, even throughout trying to escape the killer, is to have sex with her.
Like, literally only sex.
Literally,
this is it.
I don't think he has a line in this film that isn't about, like, ooh, baby, I'm going to get you naked. Like, the entire movie.
It's not joking. We're not joking. Like, I think maybe two or three lines of dialogue.
It's not a joke. I mean, it is a joke, but it's not.
So he's concentrated on one thing here.
Yeah.
But he has a friend named Will, who's
also, like, in class with...
Yeah, Will Benson, who's...
he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, and he's got, you know, he's got a little crush on Julie and stuff.
He's got the hot and juicy.
And Carla and Ty are always just trying to force the issue here. Like, you know, they're going to a club together, like, come on, Julie, we'll just have fun.
Julie third wheeling.
Yeah, kind of a bit. And then all of a sudden Will shows up and it's like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
But this is like the standard stuff, you know. Julie continues to be haunted by this stuff, but eventually
Ray comes
one
to pick
day
her up for 4th of July weekend, and she tells him she can't go home with them and whatever, and he gets offended and leaves. So anyways, yeah, one day this also makes no sense. They're in their apartment and their phone rings and Brandy answers it, and it's a radio station who has called them to get them to answer a contest question
to win a trip to Bahamas. Yes.
And the question is, what's the capital of Brazil?
So they answer Rio de Janeiro, and it's like, ding, 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 woohoo, you win the vacation.
Now, you know, most kids that are like 14, 15 are like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think most adults,
not me, because
too.
I'm a nerd, and I learned this music song about capitals, and it was like, Brasilia, Brasil. And
this,
I was like...
This will come back, folks.
Like,
so,
okay.
Yeah, broad strokes.
First
there,
I thought
Julie...
it was not like the movie made a mistake.
they don't know crap about
so
this
it's
movie.
A trip for four to
yeah,
the
Bahamas. Yeah, so Julie wants Ray to come, but he's still a little mad and everything,
yeah.
So he eventually does change his mind, thanks to the advice of John Hawkes, Oscar-nominated actor playing random guy who just gets killed. But yeah, like, as
Dave,
there you go, Dave. Not even the last
no,
name.
No, just Dave.
Yeah, just Dave. That's
so yeah. They eventually end up taking Will because Ray didn't show up to go. So
yeah, well, Ray tries to, but as he's on his way back to meet her, and like, you know, of course, Dave tells him like, no, don't call her and tell her you're
yeah,
coming.
Just surprise her. That can't turn out bad at all.
Yeah, can't turn bad at all. But they see a guy like that's laying in the middle of the road, and this ends up being a trap laid by some kind of hooded hook man again, and poor Dave, he gets the hook under the chin. He's
Ray
done.
Gets beat up pretty badly and put in the hospital.
Right, and he's in kind of like this coma thing. But yeah, so they take Will with them to this island resort in the Bahamas, Cradle Bay. I want to say it's called
Cradle Bay is the name of the town in some other horror movie.
Is it?
I swear it is.
Tower something. Tower.
Yeah, I don't.
Tower Bay.
Maybe
something like that.
I feel like Cradle Bay is the town in Disturbing Behavior.
You're right. That totally is
Disturbing
Behavior, Cradle
okay.
Bay.
All right.
I knew it.
Anyways.
They all look like they take place in the same weird, like, mountainous, like, community. Anyway, so they get to this place, Tower Bay, I'm just going to call it. I think that's what it is.
For, like, Jeffrey Combs is randomly, like,
yeah, horror icon Jeffrey Combs just
concierge.
Playing this very hostile concierge for
yeah,
no
we're,
reason.
Like, Jennifer Esposito's in there as, like,
the bartender.
The bartender,
yeah.
And then Bill Cobbs is, like, the, like, doc manager, and then you got a random Jack Black who is some kind of
oh my god, let's just
island
talk about
employee,
Jack Black here.
But I don't know what his job is.
Nobody
besides
knows what
weed
he does.
Selling and smoking.
This is pinnacle, like, early Jack Black, because this is like here, okay, look, it's not like we all don't. I don't even know how to describe this. We like the Jack Black shtick. We do, okay?
I like the School of Rock Jack Black shtick.
This is Jack Black where nobody told him, okay, dial it back a bit.
And this is like...
He's basically just like...
Hawaiian shirt, dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks. Very bad dreadlocks.
Very bad dreadlocks.
But
living in... I don't even know what he is on this island. He lives in this,
like...
He
seems to live in, like, a shed.
A shed. And he grew,
growing weed.
And he's just like, my baby.
My baby, you grew up good.
Yeah,
like, yeah, but he always just randomly shows up smoking weed, and he's always just like, oh, man.
Yeah, you know, like, there's really no explanation for his existence.
No, and he meets a pretty gruesome death there, too.
Yeah, but anyway,
like,
whatever.
But no, it's just like really random Jack
Black.
So
they just show up at this, like, island.
But it ends up being, like, the end of the season.
Yeah,
like,
it's like the
it's
first
like nobody's
day of
there
hurricane
anymore.
Season. It's 4th of July.
Yeah. Which we kind of felt like, wait, 4th of July? I mean, wouldn't that be tropical and stuff? But I guess it is technically kind of in the hurricane season.
I don't think it's like, they act like on 4th of July, like everything just shuts down, like, and the hurricane rolls in, like, on cue.
Every time. Like, hey, man, there's the hurricane.
There is literally not a single other guest in this hotel.
No, nobody else there. Just the staff and these four now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody leaves the day they get there, which is just like, that should be your first clue, people.
So, yeah, they get like the two honeymoon suites, and like Carla tricks Julian to staying with Will so she can stay with Ty so they can do it,
which they which never they... actually do.
Well, that's why Mekhi Phifer is so frustrated the whole movie.
He's frustrated the whole movie.
So basically, so look, from there, I mean, it just turns into
and you can guess where this is going. Eventually, the killer starts killing off these employees
right.
one by
and
one.
Julie keeps trying to tell them, like, it's him
something
again.
Something feels wrong here.
But they don't believe her.
She, as they're doing karaoke one night, she sees, like, the words on the karaoke screen. She's like, I still know. And, like, you know, when, by the time she tries to draw attention to it, it's gone and nobody believes her. And
yeah, they're making her look nuts. Like, her toothbrush gets stolen and, like, Carla's hairband gets stolen. Yeah. And I think, like...
But, I mean, look, the killer is there. You know, we see him kill the dock worker very early. He ends up killing Jack Black with some garden shears. Yeah, just right to the chest. Yeah. Which, again,
pins his hand down.
I gotta give Jack Black credit on the death scene because it's pretty spot on because he's just freaking the hell out.
Yeah, he's like,
no, man! It's, as far as horror deaths go, it's pretty great.
There's literally a scene where, like, Brandy and Mekhi Phifer are in the hot tub getting ready to get it on again, and Jack Black just pops up in the hot tub and he's like, hey. It's so random and terrible. I can't.
It's very, very weird.
Anyways,
but,
yeah.
So this all kind of culminates here, like, in this rainy day.
And in the same time, like, Ray has, like, broken free of his coma and, like, ripped the machine shit off of him in the hospital.
He, like, trades this ring he's going to propose to Julie with for a gun and some money.
Yeah. And then he's going.
Yeah, he's just going to there. He actually even steals a boat so that he can get to the island, right, to Tower Bay So, like I said, eventually this all culminates in this rainy day where Carla sees this maid that's been mutilated and put in a dryer.
Yeah.
Julie's been, like, locked, zip-tied into the tanning bed. You're right, like, that's, I probably think, the most memorable, like, part of this movie is, like, because I don't think anybody trusted tanning beds after that.
I go in the stand-up, dude. They don't close all the way.
Yeah, it's a genuinely freaky little sequence there, but at the same time, you know, like, well, Carla's trying to work out with Julie there, and she's doing this tanning. Will and Ty are out, like, trying to find something to do, and they eventually see the deceased Jack Black in the shed and everything, so everybody now knows, okay, something's really crazy.
They really blame Bill Cobbs. Like, they all think it's Bill Cobbs for most of the time.
Yeah, Bill, like, freaking old-ass Bill Cobbs.
Well, because they find her toothbrush in Carla's hair tie.
Well, first they find Jeffrey Combs, like, with a freaking, like, machete in his head, like, and the radio busted and everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty gruesome Bill Cobbs
character, though, because, like, he...
They find this voodoo altar, that he's doing.
But he's actually trying to protect them.
He's trying to protect them. No!
Just like the skeleton.
And this is where we get, like, the idea, like, okay, this was set up because eventually Julie sees on the globe that, like, no, actually, Brasilia is the capital of Brazil. So they didn't even get the question right. So somebody has clearly brought them here for this. And this is where Bill Cobbs, I think his name is...
Estes.
He actually tells them this story about, you know, like, Ben Willis was an employee at this resort for a long time.
Oh!
What are the odds? But he had a family there. He had a daughter and a son and a wife, but it was, believed that the wife was cheating on him. Mm. And so in a fit of rage, he killed her and fled with the kids. And so, you know, he says that, but now, you know, like, he's back. I see him out here. And he leads them to this weird graveyard in the middle of the woods. And, yeah, like, there it's, like, shows, like, Julie's name on one of the graves.
Yeah, like, it's like his wife's and Susie's graves. And then there's a gravestone. This part's my favorite because, like, it's just like a gravestone says Julie James on it. She goes, what's the date?
July 4th.
But it doesn't even say July 4th on the gravestone. So I'm like,
what's the matter?
Every time. I'm like, but what? Okay.
What's today?
I guess it's just because.
I guess, yes, signifies the last 2 years.
I know.
Yes.
I always laugh. I'm like, okay.
What's the date? July 4th.
Yeah. And then there's, like, some more chasing and, like,
tons of stuff. They end up getting separated. Will goes after Estes.
Yeah,
and,
Jennifer,
you know,
Esposito made it out, and she, like, runs. She and Brandy and Julie, what's Brandy's name? Carla and Julie, they make their way through the hotel, and they end up, like, in an attic, and then Brandy roughly falls through a greenhouse.
Yeah, like greenhouse play window. But before that, even, a very good, like, shocking death of Ty in the kitchen. And I still don't understand how Willis was there. Like, you know, like, it looked, because, like, he's standing by, like, this oven, right? And it's, like, there's this, like, that top section where it's, like, a bunch of, like, ventilation stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, you don't see this guy at all. And then all of a sudden you see this hook come out of nowhere and, like, go through Ty's neck. And I was like, where was this guy hiding?
It's like Michael Myers. He was just dangling up there.
I guess, but how tall was that thing? Like, that space doesn't look very tall. There's all that. Jennifer Esposito ends up getting killed underneath Estes when, Willis impales both of them.
Yeah.
After she's trapped falls down.
It's just Julia and Carla left, and they find Will, and, Will, he's here. He's bleeding. Julie's like, we gotta help him. They lead him in. She's, like, cleaning him up, and she's like, I can't find a wound. And he's
because
like,
it's not my blood.
Not my blood.
So here's your twist. And actually, I will give the actor here credit because he does like this.
It's Rufus,
like,
from Gossip Girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Matthew Settles.
But he actually does like this really fun little like face switch. Like, you know, before, like the whole movie, he's just really like, kind of like even face.
And he's like, and real
then,
smiley.
I know.
Nerdy.
Then all of a sudden, after he does it, it's just literally just like a Joker grin. It's just like, hey.
Yeah. And he says, like, don't you get it, Julie? My name, Will Benson.
Will Benson. Oh my god.
That's when you're like,
you could tell that, like,
I could have forgiven some shit, but
you could just see the writer's room where they were just like, oh yeah, we'll call him Will Benson because he's Ben's son. And you know, she should have seen it from the start.
Ben Willis, Will Benson, Willis Benson.
I don't know who wrote this movie, but screw you in every possible way.
Because they said if you say it like Will is Benson, Willis Benson, it's terrible. It's just horrid. Will, like, drags them back out to the graveyard, and
yeah.
And
again, it was one of the most surreal line readings I've ever seen in my life, where he's, like, explaining the name to Julie. He was like, Ben's son, and then, like, all, like, so nonchalant, he's like, hey, Dad.
Hey, Dad.
And he's just there behind her. I was like, what is that? So, yes,
here's your whole thing.
They're still pissed that Julie tried to kill him twice, and so they're going to kill her right here where they used to live, blah, 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 blah,
blah. But then Ray shows up.
Yeah, and he's got a gun, and this is kind of, again, just like your standard movie fight.
Just your standard fight. He gets ungunned, and then he's like, yeah, and then there's your favorite line.
Yes, okay, so Ray looks like he's lost. He's beaten to hell, you know, after a fight with Ben. They have Julie pinned and stuff. And so finally, as, like, Ray is on the ground, like, Will is, like, taunting him, and he even, like, looks at his dad, and his dad just says, stand him up. It's like, I don't think he could be less menacing in any kind of way.
Why?
But Will stands him up.
He obeys.
And as Ben comes in for the massive kill, Ray just ducks, and Ben ends up hooking his own son in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Will falls dead. Ben's a little pissed about it, but then Julie just empties an entire gun into him. He's just like, just freaking die.
He falls into the grave.
He does. He falls perfectly into the grave.
Yeah.
And hence, it looks like we are harmoniously finally done.
Yep, they hobble Willis. Out of the rain, and the helicopter's coming, and Carla's alive somehow.
Yeah,
she comes hobbling out.
Have to get that single.
Yeah,
I guess
they're good. So then, yeah, we, of course, we have to get a little tag scene.
Another tag scene. Jeez, man. So look,
Ray and Julie
are finally together. They bought a house. Everything is fine. And as Ray is really making love to his electric toothbrush.
He's like, I love this thing.
I don't know why, but like, I should hate that, but I find it kind of charming. I don't know why, because it's Freddie Prinze. Yeah. But yeah, so Julie is, I don't know, like, she's just sitting on her bed, and like, eventually, like, this teddy bear thing like starts rocking back and forth. Ben is under her bed, hooks her leg, and drags her under for a cutscene. I just don't know why we need to do this. Look, that's not like the biggest problem with this movie, but
no, it's just like, come on. She literally like she probably unloaded like
at 40. Least six.
No, like, no, probably like yeah, 6 to 10.
At least bullets. Six. I mean, I'm gonna assume if it's a revolver, it has six chambers. At least six bullets.
Oh my
in this
god,
guy. He is not.
He's already
alive.
Got taken a lot of more beatings. Besides, I mean,
Will is not alive. Susie is not alive. Ben is not alive. Who the hell is? I don't care.
Like
I don't care.
Vigo from Ghostbusters. He was shot, stabbed, impaled. Like literally.
Yeah, let's compare some injuries here with Vigo and Ben Willis. Let's see who's better here. But look, I mean. It kind of sucks because, you know, look, it's not like the first I Know What You Did Last Summer is some barn burner, but this one really does just put a big stink on both of them,
it's
you know?
It's pretty bad. And for some reason, like, I remember more of two than one.
I know. What is that? Like, why is that?
Because it's
you just remember the cheese, I guess, more than anything.
The cheese is really cheddar.
This is some sticky Limburger here. And look, yes, people, there is a third one. I'll always know what you did last summer. Has nothing to do with Julie James, nothing
different
to do with
actors.
Ray. Yeah, like it's just all completely different. You can watch it if you want. I really don't recommend it. Which is why we wanted to kind of concentrate on these two because these were the, and it was kind of like
OGs.
It was kind of like a direct to DVD like sequel.
Yeah,
I don't think
it was a theater release. Yeah, these are the OGs.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. There is a legacy that can be left, that you can say can be left by the first film, because especially when you're right, like when you pair it with like Scream and Urban Legend and those like mid to late 90s horror renaissance films, they really did kind of usher in the return of horror as an art form.
Yeah,
in film,
the
you
idea
know?
Of like getting like note, having a secret that you like are praying so hard nobody ever finds out and then getting a note like that.
Yeah.
Like that is pretty legit.
Oh, yeah. Everybody can relate to that.
Yeah.
Not on a murder scale,
no,
probably,
I mean,
but. You know, like everybody
yeah,
can,
totally
can
relate
to like
to
having, yeah, okay, I'm going to scoot over here. No, but no, like, you're right. Like everybody can relate to having a secret they don't want to get out and the nervousness and the anxiousness about that.
Having somebody know it and you don't know who they are or what they're going to do with it.
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very good thing there. And that's actually kind of like the originality of that first movie, you know,
it
like it's not just a standard, you know, look, there's always like a mystery to this sort of thing. Like you're right, like Urban Legend, Scream, like all of them had mysteries at the center. Who is this kid? Killer.
Yeah, but I think
but
like,
this one is kind of unique in the sense that like this killer is like taunting them, wanting to be found. You
right,
know?
But this killer like also what's unique about this one is that these people actually deserve to be punished. Like
yeah.
In Scream and some of these other movies, it's just like we're being stalked for no reason.
Well, Scream you always kind of have to like put in its own category because it is a slasher film, but it's also a send up of slasher film, so
right.
It's like very meta.
Yeah, but this
but you're
movie,
right, like
they
Urban
actually
Legend,
did
thing.
Kill someone.
Yeah,
like,
they or tried to.
Well, they yeah. I mean, they have something to hide.
They made very bad choices. Let's just put it that
right.
way.
So, like, this one, there actually is, like, you can't, like, 100% root for these people because it's like, well, you did kind of.
You kind of did this. So.
I mean, he was a murdering fuck, the guy that you hit. That's,
yeah,
that's lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Man, what luck. He didn't just hit an innocent guy.
No, but, you know, there is that sense of, like, okay, well, you know, they kind of did.
Kind of did this.
But, yeah, that's what makes, I feel like that's what's a little bit different in this one than in
yeah.
some of the other movies where it's just, like, killing for killing's sake.
Yeah. I
this
mean,
one,
like,
there's actual vendetta reason for it to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the Urban Legends, it's just, like, sure, there's a couple people in that one that like did bad things, but ultimately they're just college kids. Scream, yeah, just high school kids, like not really doing anything.
I mean, I guess Sydney's mom was a little bit of a slut-a-loo, but that's not her fault.
No,
you know? It's like,
and again,
know.
You're right, like that, like, but again, that movie is such a send up
no,
of those
yeah.
tropes. While
like, this
while
is like
doing
an
them,
actual bad deed that they're being punished for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. Look, I mean, I
still
think...
how far would you go to keep your secret?
Yeah, and are these secrets ever worth keeping anyway? So, there
if
is
if they had just gone to the police, like, and, you know, this...
Oh, yeah.
I yeah,
mean, sure,
maybe.
You would, like, you know, like, and I remembering now, like, you know, why didn't they go to the police? Well, you know, like, there's alcohol over the car because of the
no
crash
one's going
to
believe that Ray
no
was
one's
driving.
No one's
going to
believe Ray was driving.
Barry's car, it's going to ruin his future. Really, the only person that stood to, like... be detrimented from this situation was Barry, right, which he deserved anyways, but yeah.
Barry was a douche nozzle anyway. But yeah, I mean, like, the first one still plays well, you know? Like, mm-hmm. you can watch it every Halloween. It's still a fun little movie to watch. Second one, no. just don't watch it. It's just not good. If you learn nothing else from this podcast.
My favorite thing is that, like, Julie in her apartment just has a picture of only Helen from her, like, beauty pageant on her side table. Like, Helen.
Oh, no, and you called this out, too. It's just like, when she comes back, she takes, what, chips out of the...
She gets like this. She gets a bag of chips and, like, a bottle of water to go to her room and, like, lay down after class.
So to lay down and veg out, she looks at this picture of Helen and never opens the bag of chips.
Or the water. She just takes her sweater off and falls asleep in the bed. I'm like, why did she get the chips?
Why did you get those?
The chips. It's the stupidest thing to call out, but I'm always like, why?
You didn't eat the chips. So there you go. There's your little nugget of fun if you have to watch
Julie, I always say this too, like, the whole time. Like, they try to, like, not, like, ugly up, but, like, the
they
first
one. They definitely dowdy her a lot.
Yeah, because they're trying to make, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar. I guess you have to have three names to be cool.
Yeah.
Sarah Michelle Gellar and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Get on it, Ryan Phillippe.
They try to make Buffy be the hot one and Jennifer J. Love be the, like, dowdy one. But, like, she wears, like, those, like, long, flowy skirts. I had some of those skirts like that in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, but only those?
But she wears them with, like, these, like, weird sweaters.
And she also never does her hair.
No, it's just, like, poker straight, like, I don't know. She just looks like... Jennifer Love Hewitt does not look very attractive in these films. Let's just put it that way.
Well, the second one, she's better.
But the first one is just, like... Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't know what the... I just don't know.
No, that's the exact reason. You're right. It's just like we have to play our stereotypes here. So you got to be dressed like a bookworm librarian, but still a pretty one. You know?
Yeah, it's... yeah.
Anyway, as final girls go, Julie James is fine.
Julie James.
I mean, I still hate the name, yes, but like...
Helen Shivers is better.
Yeah, Helen Shivers. I don't have much more to say. Like, look, it's a fun couple of films. Like, the first one's definitely way better, but, like, you know, if you're double featuring it, it's fine. You know, you can at least turn your mind off when watching the second one, but I just don't recommend
it. I mean, if you have Stars, I mean, they're on, like, all the time recently.
All the time.
I think that's why we decided to do it, because I just, like, three nights in a row was, like, laying in bed looking for something to watch. I was like, it's on again.
It's here again.
So I was just like, okay, well, it's a sign.
I guess we're watching this. Anyway.
And, you know, like, to be honest, like, most of the time horror sequels aren't, you know, Scream 2 is definitely the worst of the Scream franchise. You know, it's hard to make a follow-up when you have, like, a big hit like that.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
it is.
But, I mean, Scream 2 is nowhere near as bad as I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
No.
But
none of the Scream movies are, I don't think. But
it's always, like, once they go to college, it's hard to do it. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is. I feel like the college always ruins it.
I will say that at least Scream 2 had that killer movie, like, talk class scene that
I feel like they need to make, like, another one and they'd call it, like, I Know What You Did Last Decade.
I know what you did 15 years ago. It doesn't quite have the same ring.
I know, it'd be funny as hell, though.
You know this is getting remade with, like, Justin Bieber, like, sometime soon, man. Like,
Justin Bieber.
It's going to happen. Just
okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's going to do it for this one, folks, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. We have one more MonsterCast spotlight coming up for you in 2020. What's it going to be?
The Ruins.
This one's
probably our grossest one of the...
Yeah, this one's gross, but it's also quite entertaining.
It is pretty entertaining.
Like, quite fun lore that we're
playing
with
here. I
don't
know, like, this is just kind of one of the ones that came out of left field for me.
I just really like this one. It's got it's very toit.
It's very hot and... sweaty and bloody and
gross.
Squirmy. Yeah, it's just gross, but
we'll get into that, but yeah, that one's coming out Halloween day, October 31st. You still have a few left from us. Sarah and I, we're going to be breaking down the last two Blumhouse Welcome to the Blumhouse films, Evil Eye and Nocturne. And we still have one more episode of Are You Afraid of the Podcast this month on the Tale of the Water Demons, and then the final time you will hear us will be our breakdown of the Halloween bite-sized shorts. So that's gonna be that.
Oh my God, I can't do any more podcasting.
You're going to make it, man. You're going to make it. Okay. All right, folks, so that's going to do it. If you want to find more from us, go to nprillinois.org/program/Front Row Network or thefrontrownetwork.com. Find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, The Front Row Network, or find us on Twitter at Front Row Reviews with a Z. That's going to do it for this episode of MonsterCast 2020 for The Front Row Network. I'm Jeremy Gechner.
I'm Sarah Baltusevich-Gechner.
And we'll see you in the front row.
Don't hit anybody with your car.
Yeah, don't do that.
And if you do, report it.
Yeah, I mean, or if you're going to kill him, like, you know, kill him, you know, yeah. Just get him.